It might seem odd to think now that at one point in history, women's wombs were seen as the source of many of their medical problems. Their reproductive systems were regarded as the root cause of their predisposition towards madness in the form of two diseases, also known as female maladies, that were discovered, or as we would now argue, constructed by physicians of the late 19th century, hysteria and neurasthenia. Lingering metaphors of wandering wombs that would travel through the woman's body looking to be satiated in the form of reproduction made women susceptible to mental breakdown, suggested doctors. Because of this, they believed that women were of a fragile nature and that exercise would not only interfere with the woman's ability to bear children, but it would also bring on or exacerbate neuroses that could permanently damage a woman's brain and reproductive system. Women were thus a weaker, more fragile and madness-prone sex, and their mental states were treated with what neurologist Silas Weir Mitchell termed the rest cure. This all seems hard to believe in the context of our modern society, where women, like men, are actively encouraged to exercise. Women's participation in sport and exercise has been described by feminists as celebratory. Women have a newfound freedom in movement. In fact, clinical research as well as anecdotal evidence suggests that exercise has a positive impact on mental health, and this is particularly the case for women, who according to the World Health Organization are more likely to experience depression than men. While this promotion of exercise as a cure or adjunct treatment for mental health ailments might on the face of it appear to be a positive transition in medical beliefs and assumptions about women, one might still call into question the social and political neutrality of these present-day medical messages. In what ways might these knowledges, like their Victorian medical counterparts, also be embedded in particular sets of assumptions about women's bodies and minds that might in fact be problematic? In what ways might these contemporary messages about women's exercise and its impact on their mental health states also be, perhaps more subtly, regulatory?